After an ordinary day of work at the Montgomery department store, where she worked as a seamstress, Rosa Parks was ready to head home. A long day. So she headed to her usual bus stop on Cleveland Avenue in Montgomery, Alabama, and waited patiently for her bus to arrive. She stood in line, white folks and black folks together, and the bus pulled up, and the doors swung open. And after all of the white folks had gotten on the bus, Rosa made her way up the steps, following them, and she deposited her dime in the coin feeder near the driver. Unlike the white folks that rode with her, who put their coin in and then went and sat down somewhere generally up in front of the bus, Rosa, along with any other black riders, had to go back down the steps, had to exit the bus, and they had to go around to the rear, and they had to enter the bus through the back door. She could only then choose from one of a few rows of seats in the back of the bus that were designated seats for, quote, there's signs, colored folks. So Rosa found a seat. The bus was fairly empty, so she sat down for her ride home. Now, as her ride progressed closer, the bus got more and more crowded. At one point, Rosa looked around and noticed that all of the white seats on the front of the bus were full. Made everybody nervous when that happened. And then it happened. A white man got on the bus. He looked around and he found no seat available for him to sit in. The bus driver, his name was J.P. Blakes, noticed this also, and with a loud voice he shouted, "Let me have those seats! Let me have those seats!" Rosa was sitting with three other black folks in the colored section, and everybody knew through the laws of segregation that when the white seats were full, the so-called colored seats now became white seats should a white person step on the bus. It's just the way it was. So the three black folks that shared Rosa's role quickly got up, and they did give up their seats. They got up and moved. But not Rosa Parks. Not Rosa Parks. Rosa just sat there. She did not move. She did not flinch. She just sat there to the astounding and shocked glare of all the white folks on the bus, especially the bus driver. He was going crazy. Why isn't she moving? She sat in peace. She sat in courage. She sat in trust that she, in this moment of tired defiance, was being watched over by a God that liberates. She sat there, a David facing the Goliath of segregation, and she stared it down from the seat of a simple city bus. History has said that she was tired from working all day. That's why she didn't get up. Or that she was old. That one's also been thrown, and that's why she didn't get up. She was old and tired. But she later set the record straight. She said, "I was not tired physically, or no more than I usually was at the end of a working day. I was not old, although some people have an image of me as being old then. I was 42. No, the only tired I was tired of giving in." And give in, she did not. Rosa sat there, looking out the window. The bus driver kept yelling at her and the others and threatening them, saying, "Y'all better make it light on yourselves and let me have those seats." That's what he said. But Parks still refused to move. So Blakes did what all bus drivers are instructed to do in that situation. He called the police. And within 5 minutes, an officer arrived and arrested her. Now, while being arrested for daring not to give up her seat, she looked at the officer and asked, "Why do you push us around?" And the officer answered, "I don't know, but the law is the law, and you're under arrest." So with those words, Rosa Parks was handcuffed, let off the bus, put into a police car, and taken to the station and put in jail, all for refusing to give up her seat and give in to the injustice of the system of segregation. She was released later that evening, and a few days later, she was fined $14 for violating a local ordinance. That was her charge. Now, things could have ended right there, and the evils of segregation on those Montgomery buses could have just continued on. But Rosa's action on that bus and not giving up that seat sparked a movement of protest and boycott that would not abate for over 381 days. As an estimated 40,000 African Americans refused to ride the city buses, opting to either walk or to carpool wherever they went instead. The city bus system was crippled and financially in perilous straits. Dozens of buses just sat idle on the sides of the roads. The boycott grew like wildfire. And finally, Rosa Parks' attorney filed a lawsuit challenging the Jim Crow segregation laws, a lawsuit that went quickly to the Supreme Court in November of 1956. And in that ruling, the court upheld a lower court's ruling that indeed segregation on city buses was unconstitutional. The city had no choice. And because of one woman's courage and trust in her faith, trust in her liberating God she had read about growing up, and the confidence that God was with her all along, in the end, the Montgomery City lifted all enforcement of segregation on city buses. And Rosa Parks was free to sit anywhere she dang well pleased. What courage, right? What a story. What a life. Of course, I'm recounting the story of Rosa Parks today because we are kicking off a series of sermons this month celebrating Black History Month and the amazing contributions our African-American sisters and brothers have made to this nation. Now, in past years, we have celebrated Black History Month maybe just on a single weekend, but this year, given everything that's going on in this nation, I think it seems fitting to celebrate it all month long. Through the arts, like music, or poetry, or sciences, and medicine, and law, theology, and spirituality, and so many more areas of life, when it comes to Black History Month, there is just so much to celebrate and to lift up. I mean, when I look at my own life, I wonder what life would be like for me without the genius of, like, say, Miles Davis or John Coltrane, two of my favorites that I just like to drift off to and zone out to. What would life be like if I never heard Ella and Louie sing those Porgy and Bess classics? Hope you've heard those, right? If not, that's your homework. Go home and do it. What would life be like if I never heard Maya Angelou and her poetic rhythms? And we all know the story of Martin Luther King Jr., but what about the bravery and brilliance of Thurgood Marshall? What would baseball be like without Jackie Robinson? Golf without Tiger Woods? This month is about celebrating then the ordinary and extraordinary lives of African Americans who, even though their voices were held down for so long by the cruel laws and the ways of this nation, they have marched and they have created and they have inspired and they have helped shape this nation to be a better expression of humanity. This nation is beautiful because of its diversity, even though forces today are trying to undo that. But celebrations like we will do this month will hopefully push back and instead keep alive the belief that diversity is wonderful and beautiful and should be cherished and celebrated to the fullest. Now, rather than just a lecture series on inspirational folks that have shaped this nation, I want to instead focus these next 4 weeks on the stories of some amazing lives, but also on the faith, the intense faith that drove them to transcend the limiting factors of their times that allowed them to shape America in new and wonderful ways. My question then is this month: how did Scripture, mediated through their particular religious traditions, guide them and inspire them and settle in them a courage that allowed them to shatter the bounds of their times? How did the God they grasped in those scriptures they knew so well call them to be who they were in particular moments of history? And really, that's a question for all of us. What I'm hoping you'll take from this is wherever we find ourselves in the moments of our lives, that's a question for all of us. What in our scriptures or what that is sacred to you instills in you the courage to be who you are, the courage to challenge the events of your own lives, the courage to rise up in the face of adversity, or the courage to bring peace to times when the waters seem a little troubled? Now, this month we're going to journey into the lives of Rosa Parks, as we just did, Jackie Robinson, Never done a sermon on Jackie Robinson before. Maya Angelou and Frederick Douglass and their experiences with this mystery that we name God and their lives and the scriptures that tell that story. But I'm also hoping you are pondering this month where you find the courage to be, the courage to act, the courage to go on, or the courage just to dare to do something new, maybe even the courage to let go and the courage even to heal and to grieve. The lives we will journey into this month all found that courage, and you can too. But it really does lie at the heart of our ancient stories, with each of them that each of them used to overcome the obstacles before them. Excuse me. It sure did for Rosa Parks. Rosa was a lifelong Christian, raised by a mother who encouraged her to explore the stories of the Gospels and the Scriptures, and she did. She delved into them, and she reveled in stories of liberation, release from bondage, stories where the oppressed go free. She found stories that told of reconciliation, and yes, stories of forgiveness. And she found stories about challenge and overcoming the things that can hold us back from confronting the powers that try to keep people down and keep people in their place. Most of all, she found stories that helped her overcome fear and stories that helped bring a strong, holy presence to her life in all of her moments of fear. She learned to trust that God was always there in the midst of the pain and the scary times, and that she could lay her complete and utter trust in that presence. She wrote this in her autobiography called A Quiet Trust. As a child, I learned from the Bible to trust in God and not be afraid. I've always felt comforted by reading the Psalms, especially Psalm 23. My grandfather also influenced me not to be afraid. A very proud man, he was never fearful, especially when it came to defending his home and family. Back in those days, fear was something very real for black people. There was so much hatred towards blacks, especially from white supremacy groups like the Ku Klux Klan. End quote. Rosa Parks could have lived in fear that day in December of 1955 with that climate of seething hatred on that bus with that driver shouting at her to give up her seat and make way for a white man to sit down. But she dug deep into those scriptural roots and she found the trust that God was truly with her as her animating breath and her force. And she sat there and she prayed, no doubt the words of the 23rd Psalm. She prayed those words about the presence of God that walked with her through her valley of what must have felt like death in that moment, yet that brought nothing but peace and release from all that fear and evil that was overcoming her. She no doubt conjured up that image of God preparing a feast, a six-course dinner, as you just heard, and shielding her while she enjoyed that feast right in the midst of her enemies. She no doubt felt that God was indeed sending her in the right direction, that her time was right there and then in that moment, and that the presence of God would never leave her to face this ordeal she was about to go through alone. She later said, quote, I felt the Lord would give me the strength to endure whatever I had to face. God did away with all my fear. It was time for someone to stand up, or in my case, to sit down. And I refused to move. She trusted those stories. She trusted that presence that she had felt all her life. And in the end, they gave her the strength and courage to change Montgomery, this nation, and the world. What a life, what a story, what a journey of faith, trust, and courage. I'm not surprised that Rosa Parks found the courage to change the world in that short psalm that Peter just read for us this morning. That psalm has brought comfort to so many throughout the centuries as an ode to the ever-present nature of this mystery. It is a mystery that we name God in our lives. You feel it, right? Always there, never leaving, never wavering, always a source of peace and hope. Even as progressive as we are, it's there. And we don't know who first wrote that psalm, but there's no doubt that it was written, likely as a song or a hymn, by someone long ago that felt a presence within them so powerfully that they felt the need to put it into words and to share it with the world and to sing about it. And no doubt this hymn of presence was first created by someone that was going through the thick of things in some way. You don't write words about journeying through the valley of death if you have not felt like you are there. And you don't envision God spreading out a feast to be enjoyed in the midst of one's enemies unless you are fearing for your life in some way. The psalm is about complete and utter trust that God, who is a part of you already, will never cease to be. And from that trust or feeling springs the courage to grapple with whatever life is throwing at you. Whether in the ancient hills of a psalmist's words long ago, whether on a bus in the midst of segregation, whether in the midst of grief and loss of a loved one, or on the precipice of a big decision you might be making, or in the darkness of the struggles you might be journeying with, or in the fear you feel for your health or your aging, or even in the feelings of hopelessness from the political situation of a nation that's in turmoil, wherever you find yourselves, let us always, like Rosa, like the psalmist, trust in the presence of that in which we live and move and share our being in together, and find the courage to transcend those moments that challenge us with complete and unwavering conviction that we will never struggle alone. That's what Rosa modeled for us. On that bus, in that seat, amidst a shouting and violent bus driver and an arresting officer 63 years ago. So let's celebrate her for her courage and her action, but let's also remember her for being a model of the kind of faith that is forged for the tough times through an unwavering experience of the presence of God that tackles all of our fears. I think that was God calling in right there, so. I hope you enjoy this month. I hope you find deep meaning in these scriptures that we're gonna share. And then the stories, tell God I'll call him right back. And then the stories, I'll call her right back, that we're going to tell of some phenomenal human beings. Happy Black History Month, everybody. Amen.